Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is mighty. He's coming back. He's coming soon. He's coming swiftly, without warning. And I thank the Lord for it. Because all that He do is wise. And He speaks to us in our heart. These are days to pay attention closely to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. His wisdom is precious. His knowledge is perfect. And when it's all said and done, you'll look around heaven and you will know that He did everything in His power to save as many people as possible. And if a person could possibly be saved, He set it up so that they could be. The ones that didn't go, they looked at the world. They operated more like Lot's wife. They looked back. Their love for the world, they looked back. Remember, she had loved ones there, but she looked back. Whoever's doing whatever, that's their personal decision. And we, you know, my strategy as a minister is to minister life. Speak the things that God has given me, sanctioned and spoken to me to speak. And help people see Him. And if I can do that, I can do the mighty works of God. I can help people live. We all need to live. God made us to live. He made us to enjoy life. He didn't create us to make us miserable. He didn't guide us out of the world to act like Pharaoh. The children of Israel left Egypt, and they didn't ask God for anything. They thought everything was supposed to just pop up for them, and when it didn't, they accused God of being like Pharaoh. They wanted to go back. The Lord brought us out here to die. He don't take us to heaven to die. He take us to heaven to live. He gave us life in the first place so that we can enjoy life. He saved us so we can live better and enjoy life. He gave us the whole kingdom and trying to teach us how it works. But people don't look at Him, so they can't learn how it works. If you look to the Lord, you can learn how it works. You can receive. Just like we receive salvation, that's just the beginning. We can also receive the success of God. But just like you receive salvation, that's how you receive healing. That's how you receive blessing. That's how you receive knowledge, which helps you to be successful in life. Now, because of the way the world shapes the meaning, the way we use words and understand them, the world does shape the way our definitions of things. The success of God is not like the kings of this earth, the dictators, who make everybody look up to them, and they don't do anything for anybody, but they receive all the treasure. That's not success. It's really blasphemy. Real success is the person who wants to be a nurse to help people, or the doctor that go to medical school, study all those hundreds of thousands of hours to learn medicine and learn it well, and then they use that knowledge to help people live, and they become wealthy because they did what they were supposed to do. And now the blessings of God is on them. They're helping people live. They're sowing and they're reaping. And then they turn around and bless others. And there are doctors out there with the heart of God. There are people out there they don't just do something to drive the best cars and live in the best homes and gated communities. They really want to be a blessing to people. And they yield them, you know, they serve mankind. That, my friend, is success. And all the other things are bonuses of success. See, when you're doing something to help people, that's success. Everything you attain, the things that make people go, oh, that's nice, that's just the bonus of success. And some people look at, well, I want the bonus of success. I don't care about the serving and the blessing. They miss the point. They always do, and they probably always will. But when you set out to be a blessing and you're helping people grow and live, that, my friend, is success. The husband that that's a blessing to his wife, and the parents that love their children, and they put their lives on hold to raise their children right, that's success. They build a business so other people can take care of their families. The goal is not just to get rich. You're helping people live. That's success. But the business that replace people with robots so they can make more profit, that's not success. They're trying to be their own God. But when you be a blessing to people, in the name of Jesus, that's the top success. When you be a blessing to people just to help people out, that's success. But when you do it in Jesus' name, that's top success. When you're helping people grow and live, and you're contributing to the earth, that's success. But when you're lavishing yourself and forgetting about everybody else and living off decay, that's blasphemy. I mean, that's Satan works. That's how Satan does. But when you follow God and you obey Him and you love people and you put things in order, that's success. Now, my great-grandfather was a very industrious man. He learned from his grandmother. And I told her his story in part. He wrote a book called Freeborn Slave. My sister had it published. I don't think it's in print now, but you can still get copies on eBay and maybe they'll print it again if enough people demand it. Very interesting book. He was born in slavery, but slavery was abolished when he was a baby, so he never got to do any slavery. But he was yet very industrious. He worked hard, and people trusted him because he was godly. And just an example of his character. People needed ink. He had a mail route. He delivered mail. And people trusted him to carry large sums of money. And that's the kind of character he had. People trusted him. And he was black. People talk about race all the time. They want to say the worst about race. There were white people that trusted him to carry thousands and thousands of dollars, and nobody knew it. And he carried it where it was supposed to go. And it always got there. And he had a mail route, and he noticed that people needed ink. So he went and bought a bottle of ink for a nickel. And that kind of ink was real strong. So he got five bottles and made five bottles of ink out of one bottle of ink and sold each for a nickel and had a quarter. And he did this for a long time and saved a lot of money doing it. A nickel was a lot of money back then. But he had a store. And then with the store, he put out a newspaper. And he said they needed a high school in West Blockton. And he published that paper, and the coal miners agreed with him and said, everybody's going to contribute to this school, and we're going to build this school. He said, you work it up, and we're going to make it happen. It's in the book. So he started a school in West Blockton. His name was Jasper Raspers Knoll. Industrious. When you're contributing and you're blessing the people, You're making society grow. There's so many people lazy and they don't use the God-given talents. They let them go to waste. And everybody, God has given everybody something, a creativity that nobody else has on earth. He put something in you. And the love of God and the Word of God will draw it out in your life. Some people stumble on it and they become very successful, like Bill Gates. Anybody can do the things that Bill Gates did. But he found his creative ability and he used it to be a blessing to people. Became one of the wealthiest men in the world. Well, the same kind of treasures in you is just in something else. It's just in another area or maybe a similar area. I don't know. But God put something in all of us. But true success serves man. Now, when it comes to to the anointing of God and the things of God, everything works like the candlestick in Zechariah's vision. You know, there was two trees pouring oil into the candlestick, and it had seven bowls, and the oil was supplied to each bowl, and it gave light. And he asked the Lord, what was the meaning of this vision? He said, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. Now, if you're going to understand the kingdom of God and how it works, you got to get this right. If you don't get this vision right, you're not going to get far in life. If you don't happen to do these things, you're not going to do it at all. Only in a fragmented part. When people are not faithful with this vision, they're not going to get too far in ministry. They're not going to do the things of God. They'll do a work, but it'll be more like a work of the flesh more than a work of the heart of God. And that's how doctrines of devils carry on. The last three broadcasts, we talked about how doctrines of devils corrupt the church. It hinders you from learning the best things in life. Knowledge can be an enemy against true knowledge. Wrong knowledge can be an enemy against true knowledge. So the enemy, he seduced people. Seducing spirits got people off track, and doctrines of devil kept them off track and caused them to cause other people to divert from the truth. So there are some ministers that never thought about what I'm saying. All their works was just what their predecessors did. And they try to do their ministry in their own strength, and that won't work. But the candlestick is supplied by the two olive trees. In other words, God gives the blessings. We receive them and we give them. The knowledge of God, the healing, is legally done by all the, you know, Jesus gave us the kingdom. But the way the kingdom works is, the Lord will supply you and you will supply others. You're going to put forth effort to learn to be a blessing and then be that blessing. The knowledge that God give you, the true knowledge, is perfect. It's right. If you rightly divide it, if you speak rightly, what I mean by rightly dividing, that was a book called Rightly Dividing the Word of God. And it was, and to make a long story short, all it is speaking the heart of God's word, or the intended meaning of God's word, the way he intended it to be. The true, unadulterated meaning of God's word. That's where the Holy Spirit comes in. When you study and receive it, now he can train you. The part that you receive is what he can train you with. That's the only thing he can use to illuminate your heart and your mind. The mind has to be renewed. The spirit is open to God. It wants to do everything. But the voice of the mind can be so loud. You're so used to the things of this world, it interferes with how you receive his word, and your faith don't work right because you're introducing doubt in your heart. And doubt is always anti-Christ. It's anti-God. It's anti-word. It's anti-knowledge. It's anti-wisdom. And it affects your will. But when you drive it out as you learn the true things of God, you drive out the old. You have to do both. You receive the truth of God and you drive out the lies. As they become exposed to you, you drive them out. More knowledge of God, you have more understanding to drive out more darkness. And you don't have to wait until you receive the knowledge of God to do this. You can start speaking it now. You can say that I love everything of God and I hate everything of Satan. And it will start a process. It won't just happen because you said the magic phrase. You got to mean it. And it has to be faith in it. You got God's word on it. And the theme of God's word will help you do this. As you understand more, you drive out things on purpose. You know what they are. You're aware of the wrong. And this is success. Because the word, from there, you're going to be able to be a greater blessing to people and learn more from God. I know this work because I practice it. Now, everything, don't just, you want it out of your life. That's the first step. But that the things that pop up, it's just like you're on the computer and then pop-up ads come up. You don't want that on your computer, so you get something to drive them out. People pay for firewall protection and all kind of, you know, web root is a good one. So you want to protect your computer. And so you put the antivirus on there to combat the crazy people who put viruses on your computer. Now, it's the same thing. The world is full of interference. And things that you, if you lack knowledge, you also, if you lack knowledge of God, that means simultaneously that there's interference from the world. Doesn't mean that you're evil. It just means that you just don't know something, and the enemy has room to take advantage of you somewhere else. There are many things we don't know. There are many things I didn't know. And I give you an example. I know that if you believe, which is faith, have faith, and not doubt in your heart, you can speak the word to the mountain and it'll move. And I know that. But I had a sinus condition. I had trouble getting rid of it. And the Lord, I said, Lord, what is it with healing? I know what the words say, but receiving it, and people are not always good at it. Even though we know what the words say, we can still have trouble with things. And he made it so simple. I had no clue. I did not know what the Lord was about to tell me. He said doubt can exist in different parts of your being. Now your spirit, soul, and body. I always attack doubt in my heart and mind. I didn't think about my body. Now, Pastor Webb, Scott Webb, laid hands on me years ago for my sinus problem. And I felt the warm sensation of the anointing working on my sinuses. And it was so bad. I used to paint cars a lot. Sometimes I still do. And the chemicals are bad. I don't know why my sinuses. I work in a dirty garage. I'm around a lot of dust and all kind of chemicals. But anyway, I felt the anointing go in my nose, and I could breathe like a baby. I could breathe like a child again. My nose felt new. And it lasted for a while, then it went right back to how it was. And when he said doubt can exist in different parts of your being, I saw something I didn't see. And the symptoms will come back, and you slowly receive it, and then it gets in your heart again. Or in your mind, and it fights. Once doubt gets in your heart, your faith won't work. Around this time, Pastor Will visited our church, and I went down. I let him pray for my sinuses again. But this time, I knew how to combat it. And I did a whole lot better. I felt the same anointing. I felt the warm sensation. I felt the anointing go on my sinuses, and I could breathe so easy, and my nose didn't run. And it was so much better. I received healing. But the weeks later, I felt my body looking for the symptom. I said, stop it. I said, you're in the kingdom. You're in God's house. You're in the kingdom of God. You're not in the world. I was speaking to my sinuses, my nose. I said, you've been healed by the living blood of Jesus. And you're going to keep this healing. And I did so much better. And this happened at a time I was, I had bought some strong sinus medicine. When he prayed for me, I didn't even need it. God loves us. And, you know, it's still a fight. You have to fight. You have to fight. And the enemy sneak things in when you're not looking. And I did a whole lot better. I won't say perfect. Because it's a war. You have to fight things out. As a minister, you have to tell the truth. God can't use your exaggeration. I did a whole lot better. We're learning. We're in a growing and learning state. And if you keep learning God's word, you'll keep growing in him. Now, he loves us all. He's for us, and he's going to bless us. That's a given. But you got to learn how the kingdom of God works. It's just like Zechariah's candlestick. I suggest study Zechariah chapter, I think that's chapter 2 or 4. And it's not by might. God didn't ask you for your strength. He asked you to depend, to yield to him and use his strength in everything you do. Love people in his strength. Believe in his strength. Operate the kingdom of God. Receive his word and do it. Receive his word and do it. If you want to use your strength to cooperate with God's strength. Allow his strength to work through you. When you're anointed to teach, you yield to the Lord and he'll give you what to say. You say it and supply other people. You're ministering to other people. You're sowing. And then because you did what was right, he's going to give you more knowledge. And you're going to sow that as people can receive it. And stay in the strategy of God. Do yield to the Lord. Some people can't receive revelation at the time God give it to you. But when you have the unction from the Holy Spirit, give it to those that you can. Don't try to sell it and make money on it. Give it away. And then God will always supply you with his knowledge. You don't have to go and do all these squirrely things people do and try to make people serve you. Serve them and God will bless you. And if anything you need or want, ask him for it. And he'll show you your method of how to get it. Pierre Stone had a burden he wanted to do. And he said, and the Lord showed him how to get it. He said, take all the money that people give to the ministry, but that's not designated. And then be a blessing over here to people that can't help you. And, you know, I forgot what it was. I think it was supplying people with clothes in Africa. And then he would have the money to do whatever the other thing. There's a method and there's a way for God to give you everything you need. You just got to follow him. Sowing and reaping, his principles, his blessings. Do what he give you to do. Now my time, Lord, is not. He'll continue to mightily move and bless you in and throughout your whole life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. And Jesus Christ is our Lord.